Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood alongside producer Nathan.
Hey.
So we're glad to have producer Nathan for another episode with us. Before we get into the topic today, I want to say thank you to those of you, and there's been a lot of you who that have done this, so thank you very much. You've gone and left a rating and review. We really appreciate that. We love to hear from you guys about what you think about the podcast, how it's helping you, as well as ways that we can improve. So the latest one of these reviews is from DCHEUDUDJ. I don't even know how. I'm not even going to try.
I'm not certain either.
I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but that's who it's from. Still love the pod, you guys. Weird thing has been happening, though. There have been one or two spots in the last few where one of your voices suddenly starts to echo. Oh, I did that. I'm broke. Sorry.
I can add the effect later.
It gives you a very divine ring. I need to know if this is an audio thing happening or if the Lord is coming behind your words to tell me something. Well, I'm not going to speak for the Lord here. He has done that through his word. So I can't tell you that, but we were able, producer Nathan was able to isolate a tech issue that was probably causing the very divine ring. So
yes.
Thanks for the heads up on that. Hopefully the Lord is trying to tell you something through the podcast as well. That would be amazing. But DCH, thank you for leaving the rating and review. That was a 5-star.
Yeah.
Review.
That's
and,
great.
And rating. So we love those. So head over to iTunes if you haven't had the opportunity yet. Leave a rating and review. And hit that subscribe button while you're there so that you can have the podcast delivered straight to you. And we're also on Spotify.
We are.
So if you listen to your things on Spotify, you can find the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast there as well. All right. As we get into this, one last thing I want to tell you before we get started, is Youth Pastor Summit, the virtual version, October 24th at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time is when we will be having the Youth Pastor Summit virtual event. This is the first one. This is the launch event for Youth Pastor Summit virtual. So in the comfort of your own office, of your own home, of the gym where you work out, of the running track that you run on, you know, wherever.
Right. Wherever
it's
internet
virtual.
Is.
Yeah, wherever you can get an internet signal, you can get student ministry training conference delivered straight to you. So Youth Pastor Summit virtual October 24th. Find out more information about that, slulead.com/YPS. It's an event that we partner with our great friends over at Student Leadership University to pull off. We would love you to be a part of this conference. So there's going to be keynote sessions as well as breakout sessions that are mimicked to be a live. There's, you know, feedback, live interaction with the breakout leaders to mimic a breakout session that you would have in person. Again, that is Youth Pastor Summit. Virtual, October 24th, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Check it out. We'd love to have you join us. Now, producer Nathan is going to be involved in this podcast as well. Perhaps you listened to a recent episode that we did where producer Nathan talked about leading from the support role, and you thought, man, I need to get some more of producer Nathan. Well, lucky day for you. He's joining us again. Man, we just... Producer Nathan sits behind the tech stuff a lot. If you've been with us at one of our conferences, you've probably met producer Nathan as he's been in the booth with us and building relationships with student pastors and doing one of the things that he really loves to do in partnering with you, the student pastor, in your ministry. So that is primary calling on his life, and we're thankful for it. But we wanted you to have an opportunity to get to know all the people involved in the podcast. So you get to hear John Paul and I a lot, and you kind of get to know us a lot. We wanted you to get to know producer Nathan. So today you get to find something out about Nathan that is amazing. All right. Nathan is, in addition to his role at Lifeway, in addition to his serving his local church, is a professional Can we say professional? I mean, you do it. You get paid for it.
I think so. I do get paid for it, so I guess that is true. Yeah.
He is a sports officiating crew member.
Yes, officiate.
He's a referee. Yep. He officiates sporting events.
Yes.
So, lacrosse.
Yep.
Football.
Yep.
What else do you do? Some soccer?
Used to do soccer. Haven't done it since I've been here in Tennessee. And also basketball.
That's right. That's the one I was leaving off. Yep. So, what's your... You have a favorite of those three? We won't tell the other people.
Lacrosse is actually my favorite. Okay. Football's a close second. And then, I enjoy basketball. I mean, I like running around and exercising.
Just running around.
Just other people happen to be out there while I'm doing it. Like, I don't know how this happens, but man.
I love that. I just like running around.
So it's also one of those things that kind of became a hobby. I've always loved sports. I've played a little bit of high school soccer, just love the idea of competition and just sports in general. And so I was like, man, I'd really like to kind of see about this officiating thing. I've been always one kind of who felt like I knew the rules better than maybe most people was like, you're watching a game and, you see this, like in football, this flag's thrown and you're like, oh, I think that's holding because I think I saw it there, just kind of more involved in that. And so started into football and soccer.
You're the kind of guy that likes to read the rule books.
Yep.
Yeah. So some of you may have a friend out there that gets into that this is a piece of producer Nathan. So you got into football.
Yep. So got into football and soccer at the same time, then went into basketball. Last thing I actually added was lacrosse, but it quickly became one of my favorites. It's just, it's kind of a combination of several sports, football, hockey, kind of all rolled into one. And it's just a lot of fun. So,
which in lacrosse, it's becoming less so. Mm-hmm. It's a very regionalized sport.
Yes.
Still in our country for the most part.
Yep.
So lacrosse, still a very regionalized sport in our country for the most part.
Yep.
When I lived in Virginia, it was huge out that way.
Yep.
Up towards the Northeast.
Yep.
It's big. The Atlanta area, we have some friends that live in Atlanta, and their son plays lacrosse. There seems to be a growing population there that plays.
There's a huge part of that, like, lacrosse culture in Atlanta. It's probably one of the biggest in the Southeast.
So really?
They have a lot of tournaments. A lot of colleges go through there and play and that kind of stuff, too. So
So it's becoming more and more. It's fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. Like, had we had lacrosse back in my day.
That's right.
I probably would have wanted to check it out versus football.
Yeah.
It just, the goal scoring, the sticks, I just think the equipment looks awesome.
Yeah.
So, you have to like being hit by a stick, I guess, though, some.
You do. Or at least be able to tolerate it. You might not love or like it, but
right. I was watching it with my son one night, Jonathan, my 13-year-old, and they, where we live in Tennessee, it's still small, but I think growing.
It is growing.
There's a lacrosse club up where we live. And I was like, man, would you ever want to play that? And we were watching it on TV, and he was like, yeah. Because one of the guys that he plays games with lives in Atlanta and so is into it there. Yeah. And he was like, man, I'm going to want to check that out. So we're watching it, and we're checking it out. And he's like, man, this looks really awesome. And then he said, and they're getting hit a lot by because they just running down the field. They'll just kind of, because you're not allowed to just waylay somebody.
No, yeah, you can't. But what's you called can, a slash. Yeah, you can't slash them. But
you can
nudge them and stuff.
Yeah. That's what turned him off to it.
Yeah. He should be a defenseman, because then you do all the hitting and don't get hit.
See, that's the key right there. So this is going to get to student ministry, by the way.
Like,
that's
right. It is.
Here's the great thing about producer Nathan is that he has prepared lessons from officiating that relate to student ministry.
Yes.
But before we get to that, I want to know of some moments that you, like, either something crazy or somebody just went off on you or something hilarious that happened in your officiate, because you've been doing it for a long time now.
Yeah, probably about 8 years or so.
Yeah, so you've had, people just dog cuss you, just angry.
Yep.
I mean, you've had it all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been called all kinds of things that could not be repeated ever, kind of a deal.
You have to have the right temperament to be an officiating crew member.
That's a big part of it, is being able to take all of that And you and knowing when and where the line is.
Yeah.
So for each level of sport, no matter what it is, there's a different line. You know, you're out doing the youth league stuff on a Saturday. You're not going to take it from a coach. Just, I mean, one, he shouldn't be cussing out there in like, you know, kindergarten to like fifth grade, right?
Right,
like
you're
there's
8 year
no,
old.
Right. Yeah, there's no
need,
place
yeah.
for that. Right. So like, you're not going to take that from there. But when I'm on Friday night under the lights, you know, high school game, you're going to take a little bit more from that coach.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of leeway there. When I'm on the field for college lacrosse, I mean, there's a lot that they can say. I'm still, you know,
the players,
you know, there's, I mean, you can't let them, you never let them disrespect each other. You know,
right.
there's certain rules, those kind of things, you know, that kind of a deal. But, you know, they're more able to, you know, say some things or yell, that kind of a deal. And then the fans, I mean, they can, unfortunately, they can almost say whatever they want. There are lines, and we do have the authority to, in some places, to kick them out,
yeah.
too. But, you know, usually, like, when you get into, like, high school, college level kind of stuff, like, the administration usually takes care of that because it looks real bad when you've got some dad in the stands just dropping F-bombs and all kinds of stuff all
yeah.
over the place, you know, so.
Absolutely. Does one moment stick out to you as, like, a funny or?
Yeah, there's several that stick out. I was on a football field. It was a Saturday, and it was, like, the first level that they put kids in pads, so they were probably in, like, first, second grade, maybe, something like that. And this kid got tackled, but he got tackled forward. So the horse collar rule back then was if you grab the inside the collar and
yeah.
you have to, the official rule, again, going back to the rules, you have to be a studious rule that
right.
the wording is de-cleated from behind was the rule back
okay.
then.
Okay, so you had to grab them by the pads around the neck.
By the pads and pull them to the ground backwards.
So that their feet come off the ground.
Right, so that yeah. means, you know, because that's where you really mess up knees and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
This kid grabs him inside the collar, but tackles him forward. So whereas now that rule has changed in college, it's different. It's changed, but this was, you know, 6-7 years ago. So
yeah.
I didn't throw the flag, and this mom standing on the sideline with the team just let me have it. I mean, it was insane to the point that the head referee came over and like he called the cops over and had her escorted off the premises.
Oh my goodness!
So yeah, it
and
was,
you just stood there and took it.
I just stood there and was like, oh my goodness, these kids don't need to hear this. Is what I was thinking in my head.
These elementary school age kids don't
right,
need to
right.
hear the crazy mom.
Yeah.
I'm curious, is one of your, you mentioned a second ago, you've got to know where the line is
yes.
and know where to respond. I'm curious to know if one of your things you've learned from officiating that applies to student ministry is being able to just take it. Because there's some times in student ministry where somebody gets upset,
mm-hmm.
might be a parent, and the best thing for you to do is not respond.
Yeah. One of the things I put down was understand when and how to respond.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is.
Sometimes it's a conflict moment.
Sometimes it's a conflict moment. Sometimes it's you need to step in and say, in the proverbial sense, throw the flag. We're not doing this anymore. This
yeah.
needs to stop. And then sometimes it's a, you know, this coach is really mad, and I know that he's mad about this play. I know he doesn't have really anything behind it, but he just needs to vent and tell me that, you know, he didn't like that. And
yeah.
I'm just going to say, okay, you know, you can do that. Again, that's upper level stuff, you know, but still, it's sometimes there's a parent that just needs to say their piece. And then
we just need to listen.
And then you're going to be like, okay. And then 5 minutes later, they're like, hey, you want to go grab a milkshake? You know, it's like, wait, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, but
that, man, I think that's such an important thing to remember in student ministry. For those of you that have a spouse, it is sometimes people just need to be heard.
Yeah.
We just need to listen. They're not looking for us to respond. They're not looking for us to change things or fix things or break things. They literally just need to say their piece.
Yeah.
And you earn more credibility in those moments when you listen and let them say their piece than if you try to respond, fix, break, or do whatever it is that you think you need to do in that moment. Quick to listen is the principle.
For sure.
So articulate it again. Like, how did you write it down?
Yeah, so just know how and know when to respond.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, at what level should the response be?
Right.
You know.
And a lot of times it's not always a conflict moment.
Correct. It's not. Yeah.
But a lot of times when it is a conflict moment in our flesh and in our desire to be right.
Yes.
we will get defensive. We will argue. We will want to say, I understand where you're coming from, but here's where I'm coming from.
Yes.
And that goes back to this know when and how to respond. In that moment, like I've learned, there are some times where I can't respond in the moment because I know I'm not going to respond the way I need to. So, hey, can I have a little bit of time?
Mm-hmm.
You don't always have this.
Yeah, not usually on the field. But
No. But can we,
and
I would love to talk to you about this in the student ministry setting. I would love to talk to you about this, sir or ma'am. Can we set up an appointment for tomorrow?
Yeah, for sure.
Because chances are when you have something like this happen in a student ministry setting, it's going to be on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or in the middle of an event.
It's because game time. You're in it.
Yeah, that's when there are people around.
Yep.
And that's when you're in the middle of stuff. So I've found a valuable tool in a conflict moment about knowing how and when to respond is just to say, hey, I would love to talk to you about this. Can we schedule an appointment for and give a specific day so they know it's coming, so that they know they're going to get to say their piece? Just now is not the best time.
For sure. And I think knowing the person also helps. To go back to the officiating thing, I remember my very first college lacrosse game that I called. One of the other officials who's been doing it for years said, hey, this coach, he really knows his stuff. I mean, this is a guy who'd been coaching lacrosse for 30-something years. He said, if he asked you a question, you should really think about it because you probably missed it. And the coach never once yelled at me, but there was a couple of times, you know, it was okay, this guy has done lacrosse longer than I've been alive, you know, in a professional level. And so if he says, hey, what did you see here? Or what do you think about this? Or, you know, that kind of a thing. It's his mentality was, he's not coming at you as like, what are you doing? Oh my gosh. You know, he was just very calm. What about this? And it's, oh man. And so the other official kind of, you know, coaching me in that was just saying, hey, take a minute and think about it because he's usually right. But that comes from a place. So knowing the person kind of that you're in conflict with can help because you for that guy, like I knew, you know, he knows what he's talking about for sure.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a deal. So I think that can go a long way too, to take a step back and not be so defensive right off the bat, because it wouldn't have gone well if I'd have been super defensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just having that thought in my mind of, well, I mean, I know I'm not perfect and I very well could have messed that up. So let me, while we're running back down the field, let me think about that and replay it in my head.
Yeah.
I think can go a long way.
Well, and that shows the importance of mentoring too.
Absolutely.
Right? Like that shows, hey, this person's been doing it for a lot longer than me. And can challenge me to think about things in a way that I haven't had the opportunity to think about yet.
Yep.
And their goal isn't to dispute me, but actually to
help me grow in that.
To help me grow and get better.
For sure.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go. Let's do another one.
All right. One of the things I put down that I've learned kind of from officiating, which I think can easily be transferred into student ministry, and you're going to probably hear these and be like, well, duh, like these aren't, you know, most profound things ever, but I think they're important. But is the first one I put down is just the concept that everybody wants to win.
Yeah.
And so in student ministry, you're going to have, so like when parents come to you kind of in those moments of conflict, like they want to win. I don't necessarily mean they want to win the argument, but they want their kid to succeed. They want the very best thing for their student, which is the same thing you do. You just may disagree on how that should be done.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously in a sports context, everybody wants to win, right? That's why you're playing the game. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to realize that you must stay objective in that. And I think, like, I like to tell people a lot of times, like, whatever the sport it is, so like basketball, there's three officials on the floor. So those are the only three sets of people, only three sets of eyes that are looking at that game 100% objective. Literally no one else in the whole entire venue is looking at it objectively.
No, that's true.
And so as a student pastor, I think it's important to be that person that looks at it completely objectively, because everybody else is, whether you want to say they're coming in with an agenda or they've got kind of something that they're running after or whatever's kind of wrapped up behind it. There's emotion behind it. You know, emotion runs really heavy, obviously, in sporting events. And same with that. Like there's stuff wrapped
church
up in it.
Too,
but so you've got to remain objective in that. And so I think that's an important thing just to constantly remember, because no one else is going to be objective if you're not.
Yeah. And the first part you said that everybody wants to win.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important to remember when we deal with parents specifically. Mm-hmm. It's exactly true what you said. They want their kids to succeed. And that's not a bad thing.
Right.
Like, they want them to do well, that many of them, of course, this is not the case 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
There are tragic situations out there and all of that, but parents want, like, if they're bringing their kids to church, they want them to succeed spiritually.
Yeah.
Now, we would hear that phrase, succeed spiritually, and we would mm-hmm. go, I would never say it that way.
Right.
Well, maybe not, and that's okay. But what their goal is, I want God to be a part of my kid's life. I may not know how to do that. That's why I'm bringing them here. I may not have the tools to do that or think that I have the tools to do that, but I want them to be successful in this area of their life too.
Yep.
Probably because at some point in their own life, God has impacted them and their life was changed in mm-hmm. student ministry or by somebody right. along the way. And so they want one of those same things. And when we as student pastors, when we as leaders in student ministry can all come together and say, okay, this parent really does just want the best for their kid. They may approach it differently than I do, but they want the best for them.
Yeah.
So let's agree on that. And then let's have conversation now about defining what the best is and yep. how to then get them there.
Yeah, I think that, again, kind of what we talked about with those conversations, the tone in which to have that. I mean, I think it's important to remember, like, they want to win. I can remember a situation with a coach last season in lacrosse. So in lacrosse, both teams are on the same sideline. And so, like, there's a box in the middle that you can sub through. And so, obviously, coaches aren't allowed to go into the box, you know, whether it be to coach or to try to get closer to their players. But, you know, everybody, it's kind of like the, you know, just like in football, there's the box the coaches have to be in. Basketball, there's a box coaches need to stay in. You can't yeah. just walk wherever you want to, kind of a deal. So it's important to keep coaches where they are. But I had this coach that was just constantly wanting to kind of step out there. So pretty early in the game, you know, I went over to the coach, and it was a situation where I was like, let me think about this differently, because I could easily run over there and be like, coach, get in your box,
right.
throw the flag, you know, because you try to coach them out of it first. You don't want to immediately just throw flags on them, you know, kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Throw the flag, give them a warning, the next one's going to be a penalty against his team, ball's taken away, you know, obviously kind of how stuff goes. But I went over to him and said, coach, I love your enthusiasm, I just need you to do it from behind this line for me, please.
Yeah.
And so the guy was like, okay, I got you. He went over to his backpack, pulled out a set of cones, and marked himself a line so he wouldn't walk past it. And I was like, but, and like, he didn't do it to be funny. He just, but it was one of those things. I was like, man, that was a huge win for me, because I felt like I went into it with a good tone. I
yeah.
applauded him for his enthusiasm. Like, he really was just trying to coach his team, and I get that. I still just need him to do it from there, because otherwise the other coach may start doing it and he might not do it with the same reasons. There's all kinds of stuff. It can just snowball out of. But, like, it was, you know, it was one of those times where, like, man, recognizing the tone, recognizing what he wants to do, and try to help him win in that situation was yeah. the best possible approach.
And he had a strategy that worked for him.
Yep.
That still worked for you.
Yep, exactly.
But probably not what you would have suggested.
I would have
in the
never
first place.
Thought, to, hey, get out some cones and put them on the ground, you know.
Right. And if you would have went over there and said, hey, do you need some cones to mark off where you're supposed to be? That probably wouldn't have went very
no,
well.
No, yeah, he'd have been really mad, I'm sure, you know.
So, man, podcast listeners, you may not know this about my situation right now. I'm currently leading student ministry. I'm still Lifeway, all that same thing I've been doing for the last 7.5 years. I'm also helping out and leading student ministry in my local church right now, where I am a member and where I serve. And we had, at the recording of this podcast, we have just had one of our big Wednesday night things mm-hmm. in the fall. A big event, invite your friend, the whole deal, right? So, like, that was what we had. And we had put registration cards on all of the chairs in the room, and that's the way we were going to register mm-hmm. all of the students. We're going to take a moment in the service. Everybody grab your card, fill this out, pass them to the middle, something that student ministries have mm-hmm. done forever, right? Yeah. Like, this is a very simple thing. Well, we had that set up, and I went to go do something else. And by the time I came back, two of our volunteers had collected all of the registration cards, all of the pens, and had decided that they were going to do registration mm. in the hallway as people were coming in. And in that, so that was a situation mm-hmm. that they said, man, I think we should do it this way, and just
right.
acted on it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want that.
Right.
I wanted to do it the way I wanted to do it mm-hmm. in the chairs with everybody. But in that moment, I had a decision where I could say, okay, when and how am I going to respond
yep.
right now? Right. Everybody wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
So the first two principles are in that you've talked about yep. are wrapped up in this one decision.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to win tonight.
Yep.
They want they want all of our students to be registered so that we can follow up, so that we can make an impact, so that we know how many people were there. They want all the same things I do in the end.
Mm-hmm.
They just wanted to do it differently.
Yep.
So I could have said, I need y'all to go back in there and put all the dang cards back on, like they were there for a reason. I could have done that.
Yep.
Or I could do what I chose to do and say, hey, this is awesome. How can I help you make sure everybody gets a card?
Mm-hmm.
And they said something, and then I did exactly what they said.
Yep.
Because I was like, okay, these are people who want the same things in the end. Mm-hmm. How am I going to respond right now? Am I going to say, no, it's my way or the highway? Or I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to give this ministry away to you, and you're going to run with it because I know that you want to win in the same way that I do at the end of the night tonight.
Yep.
And they did it, and it went fine. And was it my way? No, but it was still successful, and it was still executed. And so, like, the first two principles that you've talked about, last night, they came to life for me in that situation with a couple of awesome volunteers that we have in our ministry. Hello, Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast listeners. I wanted to pause in this episode for just a moment to tell you about the 200th episode podcast party that you are invited to. In fact, you are the guest of honor as we celebrate the 200th episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We're going to be broadcasting live on Facebook at the Lifeway Student Ministry Facebook page on October 3rd at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we want you to be there. We have prizes, giveaways, all kind of fun stuff going down for the 200th episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Again, you can watch it, be a part of that with us. We want to celebrate with you live on the Facebook page at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll see you then. Give us number three.
So in officiating, there's a huge thing behind like your mechanics, which means everything from how you call like a signal, like how you call a penalty, to where you stand on the field, when you stand there, how fast you need to get there, those kind of things.
Like the actual motions you
make. And so to like anyone else who's not an official, you just think, oh, we're just running around doing stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there's literally, I mean, there's books, hundreds of pages as to why we stand, where we stand, when we stand there, kind of a deal. And so I think it's important for student pastors to realize like they're kind of, we call it a mechanics manual. There's kind of a mechanics manual to student ministry. And one of the biggest pieces of that, I think, is to know when and where to look. So in officiating, it's huge to be in the right spot at the right time. So like a good example for football, like you should, the end officials, the wing guys should never be beat to the goal line because the goal line is the most important thing because that's how you score points to win the game. So if you ever notice, especially like the NFL, college, those kind of levels, you're going to always see the official, like think about a one-handed catch in the back of the end zone. Well, you see that shot, and where's the official? He's like 4 or 5 yards on the back of the pylon, looking right at the line or looking right at the catch. Like, he's there. You don't see them ever rushing to kind of get in position.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to realize where and when to look at things. So I think in student ministry, it's when you're dealing with parents, like know where to look and say, okay, well, this parent seems to be struggling. Maybe it's in this area. Maybe it's in communication. Or maybe as you look at your different teams and volunteers, it's to know what to look for. Because I think everybody else kind of looks at the game from the standpoint of like, so think about it like this. Like when you're watching a game, when you're watching basketball, what do you look at? You're probably looking at the guy with the ball.
You follow the ball.
Right.
Yep.
What's the official looking at?
I have no idea.
Right. Right. So that's a good question, right? Because the ball is where the action is, right?
Yeah.
Well, the official, if you're the own ball, what's called an own ball official, so you've got that matchup, you're actually most all the time looking at the defender.
Okay.
Because that's who's going to commit the foul. You in basketball, you do look a little bit at the offense because you can carry, double dribble, that kind of stuff. That all kind of goes out the window once you get to high school and above because they it still happens, so you got to notice it, but they're more skilled.
Much less, yeah.
Right. So, but especially
until you get to the NBA and then everybody travels, so you don't need to call it anyway.
Right, yeah. We just redefine what travel is. So it's, you know, just rewrite the rules for the game you want played. But like lacrosse, like there's literally only one thing a defender, an offensive player can do with that ball. And it like never happens. Like you can't, it can't be stuck in your stick. So like if they hit your stick, it can't fall out. And then you can't like put your hand over it and like hold it in or hold it to your chest. Like, but pretty much nobody does that, right? Yeah. And you're going to see that immediately when it happens. So you literally look at the defender. Everybody else is watching the offensive player because right. they're looking for a cool move. They're looking to see where the ball goes, but you're not, but we're not looking at that. And so I think so often as student ministry, we look at the wrong thing. We look at the flashy thing. We look at whatever that is, and we, but we don't see how we don't see how stuff gets to that point. Meaning like, so like for a foul to happen, like a defender has to do something. So that's why you watch the defense, because that's who's going to make the contact, going to make the foul. And so I think a lot of times problems happen in student ministry because we were looking at kind of like the point thing, and we weren't looking at what was coming to maybe cause a conflict in that moment.
Yeah. Man, I think that's good, because you got to have – everybody's got a target, right?
Yep.
And sometimes we shoot at the right target, and sometimes we shoot at the wrong target.
For sure.
But everybody's got a target.
Yep.
And I think what the point that you're bringing out here is so important, because when we run up against issues in a student ministry, whether they be relational or with parent or with volunteer or with an event in planning or whatever those issues are, we notice them many times in the moment.
Right.
But if we would take a step back in those beginning stages and look closely, in your example, at the defender or at the things that lead up to the issue, we might be able to correct those in the beginning.
Right.
We might be able to correct those issues along the way. So if we take volunteers, for example, if we do a good job training and developing those volunteers, we're heading off potential issues or stopping potential issues that we would have way down the road.
Yep.
So a potential issue with a student ministry volunteer might be they're refusing to teach the curriculum that we give out. They're doing their own thing. They're the rogue leader.
Yep.
Well, we notice that when it begins to happen. But if we back up and we say, okay, did we articulate a vision behind why we chose this curriculum?
Right.
Did we look closely at that?
Yep.
Did we train them in how to use the curriculum?
Yep.
Did we show them what the benefits of this curriculum are in light of the vision of our whole church? Did we connect their role to how the curriculum is going to help them accomplish their role? All of those are off the ball kind of pieces that if we don't pay attention to those and we're just looking at the end result of we're doing this curriculum in our groups.
Right. This person's here. They showed up. They have a book in their hand. I'm good.
Right. Then we miss all of the off the ball kind of moments that you're talking about. And we could take that same example and use it in relationships with parents, relationships with other staff and senior pastor, even relationships with campuses in our community and school ministry. Like, what are the things that we need to do now if the on the ball moment is we're going to minister on campuses to these students? What are all of the things that we need to stare intently at and cover before we get to that point?
Absolutely.
Producer Nathan, also Official Nathan.
Yes, right, yes.
You should have the Twitter handle Official Nathan.
I should. I
because it's
does,
both officially you.
That's right.
And you're an official.
I like it.
That would be fantastic. I love this conversation and love getting to hear. I love that our podcast audience gets to learn about the real you behind the headphones with Producer Nathan. And great stuff on things that you've learned in a hobby that's turned into a real passion for you and how that applies to another passion for you in student ministry. I hope that you, the listener, have enjoyed this conversation on things in the world of officiating that we can learn in student ministry. This has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We will see you next time.